Good morning, everyone. How's everyone today? Good, good. I'm thankful and honored to be here before you today. My wife and I both, today is an awesome day. As we've actually, if you've been in the first service, they're honoring Pastor James' birthday, and cupcakes are going out, and I got really excited about that too, you know. But we're real. My wife and I, Karen and I, are really thankful to be able to be before you today. I'm gonna be more before you than she is today because I will be teaching the lesson. But I think Pastor Bruce said to Karen last week not to let me hog the mic. But it looks like I'll be hogging it anyway, right? But it is truly an honor. I love the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and I'm so thankful for what he's done in my life to transform my life. I'm thankful to Dr. Steve and Christy for their leadership. You know, they've taught us a lot since we've been here. And so it's just awesome, you know, to be in this place. Today, truth is a little intimidating to talk on, you know, because you remember. Well, let me say a prayer before I start because I'm kind of excited. So, Father, I just thank you right now. Hallelujah. Lord, slow me down, Father, because I am excited, but you know who I am, Father. You see me. You called me forth from my mother's womb, Father, and you said, be not dismayed. Don't even look at their faces, because you have called me from my mother's womb, and I thank you, Father, for the gift that you've given me to speak to the nations and proclaim truth to the nations. So thank you, Father, for the gift that you are in my life, in Jesus' name. I pray also, Father, that everything that I say, every word of my heart, every meditation of my heart and the word of my mouth may be acceptable in your sight. Thank you for all who have come today to receive the knowledge that you have imparted into me, Father, and the truth that you have imparted to me through various stories and words, Father, that you have given me. I pray that it would be something in this for everyone today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm a little excited because most of my studying time was yesterday standing in line getting passports. We had plans of getting our passports for a future travel date that we're having for family reunion. And we thought we were going to be in and out. It was a 5 or 6 hour ordeal. So I had a lot of fun studying on my iPhone. But it was awesome. We got to meet some very exciting, well, actually one couple. And Samir, Archena, and their beautiful little daughter, Anaga, yeah. And they're Indian. They're Indian from the Indian culture. And we mentioned to them about our life group, which is the meaning of marriage. And they were so excited about learning about the meaning of marriage. They said they're going to come to our life group. And we know they're not believers. So it's just an exciting thing to have someone, and we, you know, explained the basis of the meeting. You know, it's biblically based study from an author called Timothy Keller, and they were just intrigued. They were like, "Wow, this is interesting." So we got to meet them, and obviously learn a lot about them. You know, in that 5 hour stand, we were standing next to each other the whole time. So it was just a blessing. You know, so things came out of it that we didn't expect. So, and so I'm just excited. This is, like I said before, it's an intimidating topic because truth. Remember even Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Remember that? When just before he was to be crucified and he was interrogating Jesus, and Jesus was really not saying a whole lot. But that question has always been, you know, a mystery to those who really don't understand. That we look Jesus in the, like Pontius Pilate, he looked Jesus right in the eyes, and right in the face, and he was staring at truth, right? Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Anybody who comes to him must first, anybody who goes to the Father must first come through him. So we're thankful for that revelation, right? Amen. As I said before, I'm thankful for Dr. Steve and Christy's leadership. Since we've been at Bethel, they've been amazing leaders for us, and it's just a blessing to know quality people like that. And our whole leadership, I could go down the list, but I don't want to leave out anybody, so I won't. So, truth. We ask ourselves this question all the time. what is truth. But I'm under the impression myself, after, you know, receiving Christ in 97, that really, until you have that encounter where you surrender your life to Christ for a first time, and really get to understand what it means to submit your life. I think Pastor James is even on the same theme today. And he mentioned that in Romans 12:1, you know, the Bible clearly says, you know, under Paul's preaching, I beseech you, my brothers, by the mercies of God, to submit your bodies a living sacrifice, which means, just like you said, give up. Once we give up and stop, right, you know, fighting about our own beliefs about what truth is because of what our family upbringings, you know, where does, you know, your truth or your beliefs begin? It's usually in the confines of your family. And I remember my family, I don't think there was a lot of truth going forth, you know, because none of my family was saved. As a matter of fact, there was war. There was a mighty war going on. No accident that out of my mother's mouth, she named me Mario, which means warring, because there was a feud going on between my family. And I think how God works sometimes is he puts an utterance in our parents' mouths to name us something based on a lot of times the circumstances that are going on in your family. You know what I'm saying? So we were desperate, obviously, for the living truth, which was Jesus Christ. And I didn't come to know Christ until I was 26 years old. And so that was a long time. So I was living under this cloak of my own beliefs throughout all that time. And how many know we go through a lot of suffering and pain because we really don't know what it is, that we know what truth is, nor how to pursue it in the way that we need to. It encouraged me to know, though, that if you look, you know, in the Bible, there was a war in heaven also. Remember that? In the family of God, there became a war. And what happened? Satan, or Lucifer at the time, was revealed as someone who had ultimate pride and wanted to be like God and was cast down. So, but God is not going to allow that to persist, right? He has a divine plan and a divine order to bring truth for eternity. And I think we're a part of that process. Amen? That's awesome. So I'm really thankful, like I said, to be here before you. Let's jump right in. I think I mentioned how we become a new creation. We surrender. You know, my favorite scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And he means man and women, right? Because we all are mankind. But the old things are passed away. Behold, that's a beautiful word, right? Because it's almost like suddenly, you know, suddenly something happens in us when we submit our lives and surrender and then know that the truth that we thought we knew is nothing. And we accept his new way now of going the direction that he said go. How many know that's not 360? I used to say I did a 360. You know, that means you spin and you went back the same way. But that was in I don't think I passed geometry back in the day, or but I did took a refresher course and made it back up. But 180 is what happens. You turn and you go the opposite direction. And that behold, to me, it was a dynamic experience, because that was one of the theme scriptures that made me stand up in that service. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And like I said, truth really isn't experienced until there is a acceptance that my way has always brought me pain and I need to know a new way. And I did that, and God started really showing me that it was there that I could take a new yoke upon my shoulders. And according to Matthew 11:28, even Christ says, you know, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me and I will, you know, give you the peace and the life that you desire. And I just thank God for that. So as I look at this first question, lasting change begins with our belief, because they shape how we interpret circumstances, feel, and behave. That's true. We interpret things based on our perceptions of what truth is. And I've always said that we're a sum total And somebody told me this. We're a sum total of our thoughts, beliefs, and mentor references. How many can agree with that? We are a sum total. I don't care where you are in life. Like Pastor says, nobody's a made man. You know, you weren't just born a leader. You know what I'm saying? There is a leadership tendency a lot of times in us in our upbringing, sometimes based on our family position, where we were born in the family. How many know like 80% of your presidents of the United States were single children? I mean, only borns. Like single. Yeah, that because they have that mindset that I'm the leader. I'm the only one. I don't know what is it, the parental attention they give to them to impart to them. They're special. They get something that most, well, I can't say everybody, because if you're doing it right as a parent, you're going to have equal, you're going to give your children not special treatment or different, special treatment. You're going to give them the same type of quality treatment, but knowing and understanding how they're designed by God or they're bent. You agree with that? It's amazing, though, that these things are really true when you look at them. So. And your mentor references, people that have shown you with leadership, like your father, or people you respect in leadership of your life. And sometimes, like Pastor James talked about, Bishop Marvin Wine as being his mentor reference since he was, in the ministry. So I really agree with that, because I have definitely a handful of mentor references in my life, in my upbringing. It's just, we typically are a sum total of all those things, right? And then a verse, well, put change down, lasting change in your section. You have a blank there. Lasting change begins with our beliefs, because they shape how we interpret circumstances and feel in our behavior. So according to Proverbs 23:7, and you've heard this before, so as a man thinketh within himself, so is he, right? Kind of confirming what I just said about we're a sum total of those thoughts and the beliefs. So if you're thinking a certain way about yourself because of what was spoken to you as a child, or it's because that's what you've held on to, and also why the Bible says guard your heart, because sometimes there are things can be spoken that need to be broken later in life because they're creating destructive patterns. So let's go to two. The process of change usually begins with our beliefs, not our circumstances, feelings, or behavior. And I believe that most of us, our beliefs about the world are formed pretty early in our lives, and it's not a lot of that changes if not in the major things anyway, but you majorly will perceive things based on how you were, raised as a child. If you had abandonment issues, then you're probably still suffering with some things of abandonment. But these are just little things. But I'm just saying they become big if they're not addressed, and part of the things that we've, even as we celebrated this Wednesday, our glorious celebration and graduation, Ricky was a part of the ceremony as well. As men, we have to accept the responsibility of God. Well, the three things are resist passivity. See some of the manhood issues that are never really addressed in men's life all their life, or what rarely is there ever a pronouncement that you are a man because of certain things that men in your circle or men that lead you will acknowledge in you. And so men are a lot of times they're still boys in their heart because they haven't really had that type of leading and, mantle placing. You see Elisha and Elijah, there was always a time where there was a transfer of a mantle. And some, I believe men need that. Women need that from their moms. It's just amazing when you're affirmed as a child or affirmed as a teenager or affirmed to the point to where there's a transition. And it's not usually because you've had a child. I know a lot of men are out there having children and they think that that's what makes them a man. No, these aren't things that make you a man, because a lot of them fail to respond responsibly once they have those children. So there's something that they still lack. So as I was saying, those three things that I found, even through the teaching of this course, and really was eye-opening for a lot of men, was that a real man resists or rejects passivity. And the example that was really profound in that was in the garden, where Adam and Eve were there, had all that God had for them, but he told them one thing they couldn't do, and I was partake of this tree in the middle of the garden, which would give knowledge and good. You know, they didn't know, because God waits to share stuff with us, but he just wants to know if we would obey. So Adam being, where was Adam when Eve was deceived? Right there with him, with her. So therefore, he was the first one to show us that passivity is a no-no, first of all, because he was there not only to till the land and do all the things, name the animals, but to protect his wife. And he didn't do that. So I think that brings a real, it drives a point home that passivity is a no-no. And some of us would argue that that was the first sin, is his, you know, not stepping up when he should have. Then to receive and accept responsibility is the second thing that they taught us in this course. And they pull everything out of the Bible, which is awesome. You know, this is where we really find strength, is when we know that a lot of things that we go through in life, God has always confirmed in his word. And we need to seek and dig for those truths. And then the last one is to expect God's greater reward. Amen. All right. I'm a bit long-winded, I understand, so I want to make sure y'all keep me on point. My wife always gives me the signal, too, so thank you. Thank you in advance for that, baby. All right. As you see this little diagram here, and put beliefs in the second section there. That's the blank for the second. The process of change usually begins with our beliefs, not our circumstances, feelings, or behavior. I remember seeing a lot of different diagrams that illustrate, you know, what we believe, how we respond to what we believe, and how it manifests in our behavior. You can get any psychology book, and they have their own spin on it, too. You know, you see that. How many psychology majors we have? Okay. I'm looking right at one. It's amazing how they try to, you know, use every little diagram to show you, but they really never put the truth bare, the one who's the source of truth in these books, you know, these secular books. And so, you know, we know the truth because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that distinguishes, you know, what gives life, you know, versus what is going to cause us a lot of times to just end up in a cycle. You know, I've heard of the 12-step programs with AAA and all these things. They always leave out that one dynamic that's going to really bring the change that we look for, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you look at the fruits in this diagram, you have the diagram, correct? And then roots, you know, right above that little wavy line. You know, I look at the wavy line as soil, in a sense. You know, when you're planting anything, you want good soil. And good soil is really attributed to our hearts. You know, whatever is in your heart and you've had in your heart a long time, or in your life as a child being brought up, a lot of times you're gonna still suffer with things, and they need to be broken. And what better place have we learned to break some things through a process that we've learned even at the church is ESF, Experiencing Spiritual Freedom. God really has anointed that particular thing, and this is my little plug for that. I had a lot of bad soil in my heart, you know, where anything that went in, it brought negative results. And this was in the past. I did deal with some of that through a process before that, but at the same time, ESF allow me to see some things that I didn't see even recently in my life, because they offer a fast that you would go through 3 days prior to the event. And then that fast really allows you to get closer to God and really hear his voice in times when you might be too busy to hear. But that process of allowing fasting and praise and worship and things like that to break and till that soil so that you can hear clearly. And then, you know, circumstances that you typically would respond to, because circumstances are real too. You know, you'd respond differently when you know a little bit about somebody's background, you know, when you're trying to minister to them. You know, what if they lost parents, you know, things that were going on in their lives that may have made them believe certain things that were lies because they listened to them. And then that creates a behavior. But as this goes on, it's going to show you how actually helping someone else is also valuable when you really take the time to listen. And take and be patient, you know, with people in long suffering. Amen. So behavior beneath the soil is your filter of what you believe and how you guard your beliefs. because that's kind of the root system kind of shows you sometimes we guard our beliefs because we believe they're true. But when you've come to the place of surrender of your beliefs, like I said, because of Romans 12, we surrender our lives knowing that what we thought was true is not always true. And we want to learn of Christ and we want to be followers of Christ. So he begins to show us, you know, those errors. And he shows us, you know, sometimes you have stuff held so strong, he has to come and take your fingers one at a time. Come on now. That wasn't true, right? Nope. And it's a process that he even takes us through of patiently loving us unconditionally. It's kind of a great illustration of grace in our lives. And then those circumstances create the typical behavior, and then it's just an endless cycle if we're not willing to release those thoughts and those beliefs. Amen? All right, let's go to the importance of truth. Beliefs precede actions. Put actions there. And right beliefs precede right actions. I remember, I'm going to read this verse and get my Bible out. I do have my Bible on my phone, and it's a lot smaller, but I like my sword. I just, you know, how many know you got to have a sword? Come on now, we got swords Wednesday. And I was just excited, but I was like, but I can't read that one. I want this one. So I haven't hung mine up yet, but that gave us really nice practice. And I'm just praying for the right spot in the living room because everything is, you know, it reminds us of the true thing that we get. I wanted to go to James because James illustrates, you know, how actions are, you know, have consequences, of course, but then how actions or thoughts precede actions. And James is one of them brothers that don't pull punches. I love that about James. I mean, many of us have favorite apostles and favorite disciples in the Bible. But James is one of them brothers that, you know, if you really need something like right now, what I happen to go through a whole lot of, he's going to give it to you. As soon as you reach for it, it's going to be right there. We have those friends in our lives, too. You know, like Ricky's one of those friends. You know, he's not going to beat around. He's going to tell you exactly what's on his heart. And that's a blessing. We need friends like that. You know, sometimes it hurts, though, right? And sometimes you guys are like, ooh, ouch. But it's beneficial because the Bible tells us that the word is good for that. Instruction, rebuke, correction. I'm going to go to the first chapter and begin at 12. And remember, I'm really just dealing with actions and how they lead us. And how beliefs are how they lead us to action. And it says here, beliefs precede actions. All right. Blessed is the man, I'm starting at verse 12, who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So it's talking about conceptions, right? Conceiving. First of all, it's a thought. And that thought is conceived. Right there at that thought, how many know that's sin? And requires a lot of times, no, not a lot of times, every time that you repent for it. Because we cast every thought captive to the obedience of Christ because it's trying to exalt itself. So I'm just saying that we look at where actions manifest. They first manifest in a thought. But you don't just do stuff thinking, okay, well, let me think about it after. No, you think about stuff and then you do it. So it preludes, you know. How many remember that car, that Honda Prelude? I don't know what happened to those things. It was a cute little car. I used to think I wanted one. But all I'm saying is that it preludes actions. But then obviously there's a consequence to the action if we let it continue. You know, gives birth to what? Ultimately death. So that's why I'm so thankful for the cross. Hallelujah. Come on now. Thankful for the cross. Because we can bring, I used to say, you know, I'm doing my dishes. You know, when we come to the foot of the cross and we bring those negative things that were in our heart, that we thought were right and we had the right to them a lot of times, we just got to kneel down and say, God, I bring it to the foot of the cross and I just do my dishes. So that's a good little word, right? Let's go to number two of the importance of truth. Therefore, the first step toward change is a process. Moving from lies to truth. Moving from lies to truth. It is a process, and it's one that, like I said, there's grace, you know, for us to realize that we move towards truth, but we move from lies. But how many know God has created us in a way that we always want to move away from pain, right? Pain is not comfortable, you know. So there's laws in effect. You know, there's our conscience, first of all, that you know when you've been born again and you have a reborn and regenerated, you know, soul, spirit, that God has given you that. Pastor JT said he's going to take away my man card for using this word all the time. But an exfoliated heart, because when we, you know, men, we don't typically exfoliate our skin, right? Women do those things. But when you have that dynamic experience and encounter with Christ, he exfoliates your heart. Amen. It's like you don't do the things that you would normally do before you knew the truth about who he is. He's Lord of all. So that heart becomes tender. And so we began to remember, we used to go to the club and we used to drink a little here and there. And now you're like, something's not right about that anymore. Right. Because your heart has changed. Your heart is exfoliated. Don't tell JT I said that. He's looking for my man card. But that process has already begun. But we can't stop there. Right. What we do then is we realize that. It's that taking up our cross daily and following him so that he can show us the path of peace. Because that peace is what we're after. And truth is where that peace is. But all the times we think truth, you know, it's just perfect world all of a sudden. Now I know the truth about Jesus. Now it's going to be like every day is going to be a rainbow, you know, and that doesn't typically happen either. You know, I have to say that for that first season, I mean, you can just pray for anything, it'll disappear. Because he's actually wooed you into the truth of the faith of where we now stand. You know, and now he's trying to develop patience. After that, when you pray, like the children of Israel, they prayed for manna and it was like there. But then he was trying to help them to get to a place to where he was one day going to say, when you get to this promised land, you got to fight for something now. Right? You know, the little delicacies and stuff like that, that season is, in a sense, over. And you got to fight for what you believe, because the truth is worth dying for, really. Come on now. It is. Once you've gotten the truth, you know, we say the pursuit of happiness in this country because of the Constitution and life and liberty. Yeah, these are good things. But when you don't have truth, you know, the Bible even tells us that we mourn, you know. When a leader doesn't proclaim things that are right, the righteous mourn. And if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, so we need truth to thrive. We need truth to fight. We need truth to stand where we know we are as men and as women. We need truth, because that's what we're there for, to be agents of change and truth, like Pastor James preached. I don't want to preach his message, but it was good this morning. How many been in the service so far? And then how many are going? Come on now. Y'all going to get some good stuff. These brothers on fire, especially for his birthday. Get ready. I mean, his celebration. He's in another level right now. So their process, we don't despise the process, right? We don't even despise the days of humble beginnings, because God has ordained something to be great in us. But we have to continue in it to see him in every day. So, amen. Let's go down to number three. There are only two kinds of beliefs, truth or lies. You agree with that?
Yes.
Truth or lies. All right. I wrote a little note and I want to read that. Maybe I won't read it because my contacts ain't won't allow me to read it. Sometimes, you know, if I don't have a reader, you know, these words, especially I write in cursive. But I'm going to tell you, though, it's we make a choice. I'm just keeping it real. We make a choice every day to accept truth and lies, right? We have a choice a lot of times every day. Something will come up and we will submit to something that may not seem like a big thing. And a lot of times it's whether we're honest about something, you know, or we tell the truth about something. And, you know, I think I find myself in that place a lot of times, too, that I have to make the decision. And sometimes when you don't tell everything, that's a lie. Right? So you got to really make sure you're divulging what it is that is in, not everything that's in you, because the Bible says, you know, a man who shares his whole heart, that's a foolish thing, too. Because it's really time to know when to share the truth or the whole truth, you know, and when to be sensitive to the Spirit and know that this is good for another time, you know, to set an appointment and say, we need to talk, you know. So, but it's good to have the balance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because if you have asked him to fill you, he's faithful and he's going to show you all things and he's going to lead you into all truth, the Bible says. So we have a choice every day just to receive of the to do what's right and what's just and what's prudent. And don't receive the lie, though. You know, some of us are going to be challenged even today or tomorrow with accepting a lie that you know is a lie. Don't do it. Okay? I charge you in the name of Jesus. Don't do it. Amen. All right. And then the bullet point underneath, Jesus is the source of truth. John 14 and 6. He is the source. He said, I am the truth. I am the way and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Some people say that's narrow-minded, right? How many people have been called a narrow-minded Christian because you stand on that faith, on that premise that Jesus is the only way, you know? In love, you know, you might think, you know, other gods are God, you know, yeah, that's fine, but that's going to be revealed you know, you stand on the point, I love you, but it's going to be revealed. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And you have no qualms in telling them that. You know, I love you, but I believe that information is not true. So I find myself, you know, challenging people in that, you know, and doing God tests, you know, sometimes. When I've had a handful of atheists, that, you know, in the Bible Belt, you wouldn't think you would have any atheists, right? But when we go out, like on Saturdays, and we do God tests, sometimes there are some people that challenge, and that's a narrow-minded view. How can you say that? You know what? I don't want to argue with you. I love you. But I want you to, and a lot of times when you've already, you know, spent all that you feel like you could say, and they still stuck on, you know, the Big Bang Theory, or, you know, I don't know, nobody should know, you know. Then you just kind of agree to, I want them to agree to disagree with me. And I've shared that before. Well, I just have one question then. Do you believe that I believe? Yeah. Okay, I believe you believe. Can I pray with you just on that premise? And then when I pray with them, it's different. Something happens when they open their eyes. And so I'm thankful for this, sometimes not fighting with people, but just realizing that there's a grace even for them. And if you're able to plant a seed through a word of prayer, sometimes that's, you have a question, don't you? Okay. Praise God. That's what it's all about, people. So, how am I doing on time? Wrap it up. Okay, because I thought there was, I've only got one more page. Okay, come on, here we go. Praise God. Thank you, sister, for sharing that. That's awesome. All right, demons are a source of lies. So it only seems obvious that if Christ Jesus is a source of truth, then demons are a source of lies. So don't believe them. Now, obviously, they're not going to come to you and say, I'm about to tell you a lie. You know, it's going to be something that you can relate as maybe possibly being true. But until you do like the Bereans did, you know, they were more honorable than others. They searched out in the scriptures to see that what Paul was saying was true, or what whoever was saying is true. That's what we got to do, to know that we got to reject some things that may seem right, you know. They say might seem like they're good for us, but ultimately, if it's not back, you can't back it up in the Word. It's not. Don't buy it. All right. So lies would be the empty blank there. When we believe Satan lies, we act sinfully. And when we believe God's truth, we act righteously. Amen? Amen. Summary. The first step in the process of change is to help people identify the lies in their lives and replace them with truth. That's a process, too. Many of my, or most of my Christian life, I've had a lot of friends, but I never really had another man in my heart. you understand what I mean? Like, we have been challenged with, you know, with this manhood journey that we've been on, and the culmination was Wednesday's graduation. One man got up and said that he really never before this opportunity to go through the 16-week class felt like he could trust a man. You know, he couldn't really, you know, desire a relationship that close with a man where he would call him and check in and say, well, this is what I'm doing, and I need you to pray for me, or that type of thing, you know, on a consistent basis, you know, where you're doing that daily, kind of developing a friendship to where the process is able to take its course, you know, of being within that man in a sense and living in his heart. And I thank God for that for myself as well, because I have several men now that I could say are in my heart. And I really had that barrier up as well. You know, I didn't really feel like I could have that type of relationship with a man. But now that God shows me in his word, and he backs it up, that we all need that. Not just men. As a body, we are a part of each other. And you need to let people know who you are, really, without the mask. You know, how you doing, brother? Oh, I'm awesome. I'm mighty, God. I'm mighty in the name of Jesus. You know? And then you come pull them to the side. So what's going on, really? And they just, you know, come on now. It's a facade. And one of the things I laugh about, you know, about where I'm from is L.A. was on my top 10 list of things why I really felt like it was time for me to leave L.A. because it was smoke and mirrors. You know, I mean, sure, it's the, I thought it was a road rage capital of the world, but I mean, because people will wear anger on the sleeves, you know, they were. But it's, you know, you think of L.A. as a laid-back, beautiful oceans and stuff like that. But, and then there's Hollywood, you know, that's a bunch of smoke and mirrors. And everybody's made up, you know. And it's just facade. It's really, everybody's hurting in L.A. It's a city of lost souls. I always said that. I'm not going to go through my whole list back then, because that was back then. I have a whole different, you know, compassion when I go home, and a whole different attitude about, because I know it's demonic forces, you know, working all the time. I can feel it when I descend from there, you know, coming out to the runway. I start praying in the spirit. But I just sense that these processes that we if we accept what God wants to do in us and really embrace the reality of change as a result of Christ coming to this world, becoming a man, you know, throwing away all the facades. He reached the lowest of the low, and he's going to ascend and reach the highest of the high. And he's coming for everyone who would receive. Repent, first of all, believe and repent. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Truth skills, or truth skill in listening. There's a skill in listening, and it has to be developed in us. Amen? We provide a context, context, for people to see the lies and hear the truth through careful listening. We provide a context for people to see the lies, and hear the truth through careful listening. It's just like when you read the Bible in context. You can't just take one scripture and just run with it. Wait a minute, he says something. A lot of times it's therefore, right? Therefore, Paul and Silas did this, or therefore. And so I always say, well, what is it there for? Let's look. Let's look up a couple of verses and see what it was there for, because therefore there was something, you know, before it. So you need to know the body of what you're reading. So context is really important. And a lot of times when people are sharing a story, it's in a context too. And when you go and repeat that story, a lot of times it's out of context because they're not there to tell you, wait, no, I said that because this. And we take stuff out of context. But if we're good listeners, we'll know why they said it. And usually if you're you're ministering to somebody, it's the Holy Spirit have been telling you, this is why they said that. You need to pray for that before they finish. Not before they finish. After they finish the story, put a bookmark there. And you need to bring that back up and pray for it. And I believe words are very important. I like to define a lot of things, you know. I've defined a lot of the words that I'm sharing today. I just don't think I have time to go into all the definitions. But it's amazing, like I said, about names of people. Eight, nine, ten times out of ten, when somebody comes up and I know their name, I ask them their name, I can see the spirit on them based on the meaning of their name. And I've always liked to look up names, my wife will tell you. And so a lot of times if it's a general name, I can take and understand that there's a spirit that this person hasn't really identified in their life. And a lot of times the Lord will give you a word. But that's another thing. I don't want you to get into naming it and claiming it. I want you to get into that. But if there's a season in your life that Lord, you know, speaks to you that way, then praise God. All right. James 1:19. My brother, or my dear brother, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. I like those adjectives, quick and slow, you know. Quick. I used to think I was quick in high school. I didn't run a good 40 time, but I mean, I used to think I was quick anyway. I was real ultra competitive when, you know, that's just part of my upbringing too. I was very athletic, and I was very, you know, if somebody could do something, I could always do it better, but that always didn't work out. But all right. Two, people need to admit what they presently believe before the truth can truly affect them. Listening helps people be honest about their faulty beliefs. Confession, right? Just admitting that you're not all that you thought you was. Bag of chips and all that stuff, you remember? We're not all bag of chips. I wouldn't want to be a bag of chips, because that means you get eaten. But anyway, that's another story. Off the subject, but anyway. But the enemy wants to eat your lunch and pop the bag. Right? So if you confess some stuff, guess what? You steal his thunder. Right? He wants to eat your lunch, boop, and pop the bag. We don't want to let that happen as children of the light. Because when we walk in darkness, you know, it's because we don't want our deeds to be seen. But when you walk in light, you clearly want to know, you want people to see that your works are wrought in God. And that wrought means formed and made in God. You're a product of his hand. We're made in his image. We have his innate attributes, but we got to walk in light for those to be revealed. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So admit where you presently feel like you're out of alignment. And I know that ain't easy. It's not always that easy to just admit some stuff, you know. And the marriage is difficult too, because you know we want to be. I want to be right. Karen don't ever want to be right. I want to be right. You know, I want to be right. Come on now, God, don't put me out on blast. He put me out on blast yesterday. Come on now, one of those passports. I do photography, but I was in a hurry. I didn't do things in time like I thought like I needed to. And I did these quick passports, and the background has to be white. These dry, I mean, they barely were dry when I took them, you know, off the printer, and they were kind of blue tinged, and I'm just thinking it was, oh, maybe this is going to clear up white, right? They get down there and they look at them things, bro, they're going to return these. This coming back. If you want to save the time, you know, just go ahead and pay this extra $30. I'm like, wow, okay. And my wife told me before we left, Mara, these are kind of blue. I'm like, no, they're not. They're going to dry. It's going to be white. And afterwards, coming back, I said, I'm sorry. You know, you did tell me. And it was just it's a process that when you come to a place, you got to realize and admit that you were wrong, you know. But she's typically right. I don't know why I think I can win, you know. So anyway, we need to come clean. Carefully listen. Careful listening builds trust, encourages transparency, and uncovers lies. Carefully listening. There we go again. Listening. You know, God desires that we would hear and have hearing hearts. I'll let my wife share an acronym that I know she knows about hearing. It's something about assimilation, and that's a great. Hold on. Let me get her on the mic. Because you know that. Let me hear you. Tell them what hear means.
Hear is health with elimination, assimilation, and regeneration.
One more time.
Elimination, assimilation, and regeneration.
Hear. Elimination. Or assimilation and regeneration. I like what you said there once before. I really liked it because, I mean, it could be related to healthy eating too, because that's what she brought that out from. When you eat food in, if it's not nutritious food, it's not going to be able to be assimilated into the, you know, it does assimilate into the bloodstream, but not healthily. You know, it turns into toxins and junk. But when you got healthy food going in, and it's assimilated because your body is healthy and it's used to getting healthy food, then it's going to be retained to the point where your body's going to be able to regenerate healthily, you know. Because, you know, our process of our body is it sheds old cells and develops new cells. And when it, you know, we're actually a product of what we eat. I've heard people say, you know, you are what you eat. But you are what you listen to, too, because remember we talked about thoughts and beliefs. And if you're assimilating bad thoughts and bad, you know, attitudes, and they manifest in bad behavior. So your body is basically echoing everything spiritually that God is saying about us. And he says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So the other stuff wouldn't say is so much junk, but a lot of times if it doesn't assist and what he's given us, then it's contrary and it's not assimilated, and it's going to be out with the drought. But I want us to assimilate the truth, which is the word, because that's what gives you strength and confidence and boldness and fight when you need it. You know, Jesus had to experience a fight in his temptation in the wilderness. Well, God can't be tempted, but that's another thought. You know, his man side had to go through that for our example. But he was God. He knew everything the enemy was doing. He knew that he was coming to deceive. He knew he was going to try and hit him in 3 points. Because that's who he is on the God side. He ain't falling for the okey-doke, and he's going to use what to come against the enemy? His word. Amen. Thank you. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm waving this like a baton or something. All right, we're coming down to this how to listen module or diagram. Someone, if you don't mind, participate and read listen.
Good listening?
Yeah, good listening.
Listen with your whole heart.
Okay. Somebody do poor listening. Interrupting, right? When we interrupt people before they get their thoughts out, no matter how weird it sounds, you know, a lot of times we're doing ourselves a disservice to speak to their issue because we don't want to let them get their thought out. And how many know that can be irritating? I realize that too. All right, somebody read empathize under good listening. Labeling and accusing, that just seems odd for somebody who wants to have good listening skills. And sometimes you got to interrupt them when they start to label. I do that, you know. Come on now, they're not here. Or, you know, I know that seemed bad. I can relate, you know. You empathize in the fact that they might be saying something, and they all respect that if you do that, you know. But sometimes they can go down this rabbit trail, and you guys are like, wake up. That's not necessary right now. I do that. I apologize if Dr. Christie, you think that's kind of like you still should listen. Sometimes it's challenging, though, for me, and I've had some experiences where I did have to just say, okay, I'm going to listen, you know, even though it's kind of painful, you know, to hear them kind of murder somebody, you know. All right, use your judgment on that. Somebody read under ask.
Ask questions to understand their point of view.
Okay, that's good. I think we should interrogate. No, don't interrogate the person. Interrogate your world. Ask questions about life and know who has the answer. That's the question. That's what I mean, interrogate. You don't want to interrogate. Don't. I was just joking. But, I mean, things that you might have questions about yourself, ask. You know, be passionate about knowing, you know. You know, that's the key to really growth, you know. Challenge yourself. Ask yourself, look in the mirror, why do you do that? Come on, why do you continue to do that? How many speak to themselves sometimes in the mirror? And then challenge yourself on top of that. You a man of God. You don't do things like that. Step up. You know, I do that too. Usually when my wife's not home, I don't want her to think I'm crazy. She knows I'm crazy, but that's another point. All right. Somebody read reflect. Reflect back what you hear them saying. Yes, that's a good listening principle, to restate what you heard them say or what you thought that you heard them say so that they can clarify. Karen does that to me all the time. Like, you didn't hear me? You heard me. But then in good communication, as they told us at the marriage retreat, that these are valuable things that if you don't do them, you need to start doing so that you have great communication. And don't forget the nod, you know, the eyebrow going up and the smile, the occasional smile. Yeah. Uh-huh. But anyway. All right. And then somebody read the opposite, which is a poor listening skill, under reflect. Don't assume you understand. Don't even assume anything. But anyway. And then good listening skills. The last one, needs. Somebody read that. Speak a little louder because I can hear you on the mic.
Needs. Help them clarify the underlying lies.
Okay. Helping them clarify the lies. So the Holy Spirit has spoken to you while you listening and being diligent to hear and being patient not to respond, but he's going to speak. And then somebody read the last one on the poor listening skills. Listen forever. Listening forever or giving list of changes. Repeat that again. There you go.
Yeah.
You just listen. Listening forever, that's what it says. Or giving list of changes. Don't give them a list of changes. Just listen. All right, summary. The goal of step one is to help a person, one, build trust, two, identify the lies, three, identify God's truths, four, verbally agree with the truth at a heart level. I can agree with all those. Building trust is the key to a relationship, period. Not only a marriage. I mean, ultimately, a marriage, that's a covenant, you know, that we enter into on earth, that God blesses us. But we also, when we receive Christ, are in a covenant with God when we accept Christ. And to have trust as the underlying goal is paramount, you know. You want people to trust you, right? So you got to be trustworthy. Identifying lies is a gift of His Spirit, you know. When you receive God, you ask Him, you automatically receive His Spirit when you get saved. And then you get daily, if you forget to ask to be filled again, you need to, because He's going to give you another dose, another portion. That when you go out and you see lies, He's going to say, that's not the truth. You know, because you need Him daily. We need Him every day. Every minute. Come on now, it's not just every day. Thank you, Jesus. Identifying God's truth. Identify the lie and identify God's truth. And we do that primarily by getting in the Word too, the daily reading, letting the Word wash our minds and renew us daily. Verbally agree with the truth at the heart level. I really find that devotion, reading in a devotional way, sometimes help me, because you're not just reading a verse and just trying to go about the day with that verse. You're taking some time to reading a life applicable story of somebody else, or either the Lord will show you a scenario in your own life where you can verbally agree. I mean, you can verbally speak to an issue at the heart level, you know, for yourself, and then it's applicable in everybody's life. God used that method for me to be able to minister to somebody a lot of times, because I've actually taken the time to meditate and say, well, how does that apply to my heart? How does that apply to my life? And then once you've had that time and you ask God to forgive you of something in the past that, you know, you didn't really even think was there, but if you hadn't meditated on it, he wouldn't have had an opportunity to bring it up, you know. And then you say, okay, God, I think I'm good now. Show me somebody I can share this with. Being purposeful, you know, and then watching him do something faithful, you know, in your life every day is amazing, you know, where he will send somebody and it was like, you know, I was just dealing with something, man, made me mad. And it's like, oh, okay, I just deal with that. All right, Lord, that's supposed to be it. I'm on. But anyway, that's another process.